Dandine trying to settle things down. On the wing it goes. The Leafs with a 2-on-1. In it goes to Tavares. He scores! What a strange turn of events. 3 odd man rushes and the Leafs finally score.
Walking out of Winnipeg with an 8-point lead in the North Division standings, the Leafs smother the Jets 4-1, brought to you in beautiful podcast form. This is Leafs Nation postgame alongside Gord Stelic. I'm Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stelic, where you can follow along on Twitter. The Maple Leafs scored, improving to 6-3-0 on the season against the Winnipeg Jets. By far, I think, one of the most complete efforts of the season thus far.
Nick, I talked about statement games, and I thought to a degree they had one the other night. But this really was a statement game by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Absolutely was. And we're kind of counting down the push to the playoffs. It looks now, well, I know Calgary won last night, but, you know, with the four teams are set, how's it going to happen? I really believe the Winnipeg Jets, Toronto Maple Leafs will meet in the final for the Scotia North Division. So if you're doing that, I thought that was a nice way the Leafs played tonight for sure.
No doubt about that. And I'm just wondering, following this game, what Nikolaj Ehlers said or did to Joe Thornton. We sort of saw what he did, but we haven't seen Joe Thornton that annoyed with somebody in a long, long time. Maybe dating back to Nazem Kadri back in the day.
Yeah, and there's probably still some beard hair on the ice there. But, you know, Nick, you and guys like Sam are a little bit too young to remember the Broad Street Bullies in their heyday. And all of a sudden, what happened here? The Leafs became the Broad Street Bullies, according to Winnipeg. And actually, I'm glad Paul Maurice kind of doused it a bit, because last game, like, you don't like to see anyone hurt. That's what you don't like to see. So yeah. Galchenyuk is the modern-day Dave Schultz, like, serious, you know? And Thornton got fined and on and on and on. So then tonight, it was weird. They went at Galchenyuk early, you know, and then Thornton, like, hey, Thornton being pissed off, I'll take it any night. Nick Ehlers, piss him off more, because this was a great Joe Thornton game. I don't understand it, because he's kind of the unflappable Joe Thornton normally, and, you know, whatever. But, man, you know, and it worked to the Leafs' advantage. But he got into Joe Thornton's wheelhouse, and something was going on there. And that was a great storyline throughout tonight, Nick.
Yeah, and most importantly, as you mentioned, I think this team played with snarl. They played with, you know, physical nature, you know, urgency. I think all those buzzwords, like, I like the pace they played with. There was purpose in their game, and it's great to see. Again, we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks, especially in this swoon, if you want to call it that, for the Maple Leafs. But I think they really, really brought it in this game. I was really, really impressed with their effort. We saw Mark Scheifele get benched in the second period, but it never really felt like Winnipeg had a shot to win this hockey game.
Yeah, it felt like John Tortorella took over the second period for Winnipeg coach or something. But let's give Jack Campbell full props, because you're right. This was like, if you, myself, Sam McKee, talked before the game, you know, what would you like to see from the Toronto Maple Leafs? I would say 60 minutes later, this is exactly what I want to see from the Toronto Maple Leafs. There were so many, I mean, aside the goal against, which was kind of a faux pas thing, there were so many positives in tonight's game. A little bit of bite, a little bit of intensity. That's going to come into the playoffs. I loved it.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You have to be thrilled with the play of this Maple Leafs team. It just can't believe it's like 4 days removed from another embarrassing loss in Vancouver. But to beat a team like Winnipeg twice in a row, I think, is great as we move forward here to the Stanley Cup playoffs. What is not great is the power play. I think they made some strides tonight. They actually had some puck possession, but there's no consolation prizes in this league. They don't give out the Esso medals from back in the day in minor hockey, Gord. They were 0-4 tonight. And lastly, in the third period, we saw Rasmus Sandin running PP1. Your thoughts?
Okay, so you're right. Let's not give any kind of participant ribbons about it, but I did like more what I saw in a power play. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're a really good power play, you score, and they didn't. What a storyline, Rasmus Sandin. Like, so as the Leafs for the Broad Street Bullies, he got brought into it. He did the Peter Forsberg, Cronwall, Jager type hit on Wheeler. I loved it. I said, Are you kidding me? I love this. Like, seriously, like to have that in your repertoire, the old butt back, whatever it may be. And because it was part of this Broad Street Bullies Leafs narrative, whatever that was out there. And anyway, I love that part of it. But yeah, you're to have him on the last power play shows you're trying different things. They're not desperate. There's no desperation. When you're in first place, you're not desperate. The power play, what the hell's going on, Nick? Like, seriously.
Yeah,
what the hell's going on?
It really is one of, like, they can't even gain the zone. They had possession tonight. I think Connor Hellebuck was a great story on a couple of those power play opportunities in the second period. But I was just going to add to that. We often talk about the physical nature of the game, and I think the turnover in this roster, we've seen that the last little while, how contagious it truly is when guys start to play heavy. Rasmus Sandin, a perfect indication of that, not really known for his physical game, but you see guys like Thornton bumping around. I thought Nick Foligno had a really, really strong physical game. He was much better tonight than he was in his debut, and he'll only get stronger as the games go on. But I honestly feel that style of play is contagious and something you want to bring come playoff time, Gord.
Yeah. And you're bang on about Nick Foligno, bang on. And the weird part is about Nazem Kadri in the playoffs, like the second, 2 years in a row, like the exits that are so inexcusable. And I love Nazem. And the second one was, the hit was it Jake DeBrusque? I think it was. But anyway, it was on Mitch Marner. He was fine. He was fine. You know what I mean? Like, God love Naz, but he didn't have to jump in on that part. And that's what you want from, first of all, a lot of people might be wondering, hey, Rasmus Sandin, what's he like? How's he going to fend in the playoffs? How's he like the physical thing? He pulled a 180. Like that's a great move. You're going, holy crap. You kidding me? This guy is that. That's a really, that elite players have that kind of move. And I think Kevin BX articulated it great in the first intermission. Blake Wheeler had no, like, their scouting report did not say Rasmus Sandin would do that, okay? As he said, there's a bunch of other D. He would not have done the one-arm bend-in tuck, and good on it. I loved it.
Simply put, there were so many encouraging signs from this game, but, you could feel the wrath of Leafs Twitter. I know you have your pulse on it. I certainly do. How many people out there are penciling in Rasmus Sandin into the top four, not only going into the playoffs, maybe in a top six look, but going into next season? I know it's one game. He looked good the other night as well. But certainly as you get set for the expansion draft in Seattle following this season, I think it's my expectation, at least, it's likely going to be Hall or Dermott that potentially go to the Kraken. I think the emergence, it's a perfect time for the emergence of a guy like Rasmus Sandin, Gord.
No, Nick, absolutely. And I know, like Timothy Liljegren, talking to scouts, I haven't seen him a ton. I've seen him.
Yeah.
It's a bit more of a work in progress. But what I mean is they're first-round picks. So if you trust your scouting staff, which you do, if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, then, like, let's see what these guys can do. Like, why else would you draft them in the first round, even though it's later in the first round? So 100%. And you can't over-worry about, over-worry about the expansion draft cost about, what, 5 or 6 teams to get screwed in trades with George McPhee. That I'm sure Ron Francis is done. He calls anyone now. They go, Ron, no deal. Just pick a player. Thank you. Bye. Good luck.
Yeah, bottom line, you just got to win right now, and I think you're so bang on with that, and I'm very intrigued to see that process break down. But again, we got a playoff to play, and the Maple Leafs feeling really, really good about life, which is great to see. One more game remaining on this 5-game road trip against Montreal. I think, honestly, Gord, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, it's the perfect storm. Toronto plays Montreal a lot down the stretch, and they could actually play a factor in Montreal's aspirations of making the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to talk about vulnerable teams right now? It's the Montreal Canadiens personified. They lose back-to-back here against the Calgary Flames. They can't recall Cole Caulfield. Carey Price is out. The stars are aligning, and I think, as a Leafs supporter, nothing would be sweeter than finding a way to make Montreal feel it. You know what I mean?
Well, I do. So here's a two-pronged thing to this, and you're 100% right. Like, so you eliminate Montreal, which actually I think historically we all would love to see. Then you take on Calgary. Like, is that better? So Calgary getting their act together. So I'll give you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to bring up, GTHL things, but with beloved son Justin, but your buddy here, El Gordo, coaching North Toronto one year, I can't remember the year. And at the end of the season, let me get this right. I don't know, whatever it would be, but the point being is this other team tied us. So they went crazy like they won the Stanley Cup. Or, no, sorry, they beat us.
Yeah.
So we couldn't tie at the end, last regular season game. And so we didn't come first. But the point I said after was, well, we got to play them. And okay, these are nine-year-old kids. I'm putting this in context. But I mean, so they're celebrating. They won the Stanley Cup. They're celebrating because us, North Toronto, gets supplanted by York Mills for first overall. I get nauseated when people talk about their kids' hockey and I'm doing this. But the point I'm saying is that I just said to nine-year-old kids that, okay, we get to play the guys that are celebrating now and whatever. And we kicked their ass, right? And so I just mean, it's a funny animal that at the end of the season, we'll be talking, hey, Nick Gord, Leafs are playing Calgary Flames because the Montreal lost three times to Toronto in that. And then Calgary kicks the Leafs' ass.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, well, geez. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So anyway, so you're at 100% accurate. A long-winded story, way too much. But anyway, who cares? We got time.
No, I'm with you. We're in podcast form. We can go for 3 hours if you wanted to, Gord. Let's go a bit here on John Tavares, because again, I honestly feel like even in his good times, he doesn't get enough praise. To be the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs is a very tough gig, but he has really, really turned things on in the last 3 to 4 weeks. An 8-game point streak. He has 16 points in the last 11. And along those lines as well, his line mate, Willie Nylander, has really, really stepped up. That was a great breakout, as you mentioned, by Rasmus Sandin, feeding Nylander for the 2-on-1, and Tavares made no mistake. He's been outstanding, Gord.
So, your number one overall pick, your captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, how can you get voted most underrated player? But I honestly,
you're right.
Nick, yeah. I would clamor for John Tavares being most underrated player in the NHL right now. Like, because he does, like, it's funny, he does not have the same speed as some of the other guys. He's killing it. He's absolutely killing it. And he's taking a lot of crap. Mm-hmm. Jeez, he got another cheap shot tonight, whatever. And 100% right. And again, I really believe it's going to be the depth forward line, and that means John Tavares. Like, John Tavares, like, how can you be the greatest player in New York Islander history after they won 4 Stanley Cups, come to Toronto and accept being a second-line center, basically, right? And that's what the Maple Leafs have in their pocket in the playoffs.
Yes, they do. Again, the Maple Leafs win at this one, 4-1 the final here against the Winnipeg Jets. And we also look ahead to the next game against the Montreal Canadiens, of course, for the Maple Leafs team. And 13-5 now on the season after 25 saves for Jack Campbell in this one. But, you know, another guy who made his return after missing one, who I thought was really dialed in this game, was Ilya Mikheyev. Was that not so Mikheyev to have an empty netter and hit the post? I know he ends up getting the assist feeding Kerfoot into the empty net, but that's a season in a nutshell for Mikheyev, is it not?
I love that. That's a great phrase, Nick. So Mikheyev. And he's going to have to finish more, you're right, with or without a goaltender. But I was pleased to see he was back in the lineup, and you're right. It was a pretty effective game by him.
It was. And speaking of effective, again, Jack Campbell, 25 saves. It'll be intriguing to see who the Montreal Canadiens start in between the pipes, you know, coming up on Wednesday night for the Montreal Canadiens, given everything the Habs have gone through. Caden Primo starting in that loss to Calgary on Saturday. But I think you look at Jack Campbell, this is really, really encouraging, Gord. You know, a couple games, stringing it together, beating a team you're likely to play potentially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think I sort of lost in my mind the last couple weeks where Campbell was struggling. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but this is a very, very positive development as well. Among the other great positives out of this 4-1 victory here is the play of Jack Campbell. I thought he was really, really good in this game.
Yeah, and Nick, you're the king of social media. I'm like a pawn. But I mean, like, Montreal Canadian fans, like, they go, oh, we're screwed. Like, they feel they have to call Gump Worsley to play goal. And it's sadly, he's passed away. I got to pass that on to him. I got to know Gumper. Yeah. I love Gumper. But anyway, you know, and in Jack Campbell's case, last game, I think against Vancouver, we weren't doing kid gloves, but we kind of said that he, you know, because there were two sloppy goals early to tie it up. And then Jack Campbell made the good enough saves when you had to, right? He wasn't the story of the game, but he did. Tonight, I thought he was awesome. I thought, again, he did not need to steal the game. He made a lot of great saves. And I think that's a real encouraging part of it. Because if they won, like you win any games now and goaltending sucks, that's still a worry because you're going, we're going to the playoffs. Hey, way to go. But you know what? Our goaltending sucks, right?
Yeah.
And he's really come back. And I thought this was a better game than the other night.
And again, that's the story from this one, just a complete effort overall for the Maple Leafs in this game. Again, I thought they were really dialed in, played their game, played a physical brand, and I just love this whole narrative we're starting to see. And I honestly think it's so media-driven, especially out of Winnipeg, that this Maple Leafs team is now a dirty, nasty team. But they have been playing with more edge, and it's great to see that some of these guys are rubbing off on the rest of the roster, like Wayne Simmonds, Joe Thornton bringing that element as well. Again, Nick Foligno was good in this game. So for the Maple Leafs scored, as we walk into Wednesday's game, it's all about carrying the momentum and, again, continuing into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to peak at the right time, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to give credit to this guy. When did Pierre-Luc Dubois become an enforcer? Seriously, he is the bleep disturber all of a sudden. So, yeah. And I'm giving him credit. I'm giving him credit for that. But yeah. You're right about a storyline, an edge or whatever. And that's what we love. And then playoff series, they'll develop maybe the existing ones or the new ones or whatever happened. But at the end of the day, all we said, this Toronto Maple Leaf team, what is their mantra? We find ways to win games. Now, this wasn't one you had to find. Like, this was one you flat out went out and won. Okay, we know how you won. There's been other ones that maybe you were struggling to win, you found a way. And I love tonight. Like, you know, game, set, match. That's what they did.
Well, Gordo, 4 of the next 7 against the Montreal Canadiens and 2 of those against the Vancouver Canucks. So plenty ahead between those 3 squads ahead. And appreciate your time tonight. And we'll converse coming up on Wednesday. Note the start time for that game. It's 8 Eastern at the Bell Center in Montreal. Take care.
Yep, love it.
All right, there's Gord Stellick. Again, I'm Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick on Twitter. The Maple Leafs win it 4-1 the final here. Back-to-back wins in Winnipeg have now opened up an 8-point gap in the standings for first in the North Division. Many thanks to Sam McKee, and we'll talk on Wednesday night.